On today's Compassion Radio.
The conditions are not such that they can go. They are not willing to go because they never got citizenship in that country. And they are saying, unless we are granted citizenship and get a guarantee that we'll not be tortured or killed, we cannot go back.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to Compassion Radio, where we bring you to the front lines of faith each and every day. On the previous program, we asked Dr. James Jennings of Conscience International to size up the biggest practical and spiritual challenges facing the world and the church today. With his usual humility and grace, he kept bringing us back to the core mission of the gospel, to bring good news to the poor, downtrodden, and oppressed. To literally be the hands and feet of Jesus in this generation, and in places where most agencies fear to tread. Today we'll introduce you again to one of Jim's key team members, and an intrepid soldier of peace in his own right. When places of suffering in this world fall off the news cycle, that doesn't mean the suffering fell off the map. We really need to remember that. So we'll take you inside the remarkable work still being done within one of the world's largest displaced and persecuted groups of people, the Rohingya of Southeast Asia. Richard Sarger, thanks for joining us again on the Compassion Radio program.
Thank you so much. Appreciate for this opportunity.
It's been a while since you and I have talked about much of anything, so I wanted to check in on some of the most recent advances in the work of Conscience International, which you are a senior representative for. And you've been active in a lot of parts of the world, so get me caught up. Last time we talked, you were doing some of your first look-sees into what was happening with the Rohingya projects in Burma and the eastern part of Bangladesh. What's been keeping you busy the past year and a half?
Well, since then, I have been there twice with a lot of food items, especially rice and lentils, which is staple for them, and distribute to the different camps. In one of my trips, my wife also joined me and visited some of the clinics. Being a physician, her interest was to look at some of the health facilities run by other organizations. And she had a warm welcome from the military authority and everything. And it was such a joy to be there and meet all those officials and also help the refugees there.
Now, Richard, you are one of the few people that we know of that has actually been able to spend time in the no man's land between where other reporters and investigators are allowed to go by the Burmese government in that no man's land between there and Bangladesh. And your familiarity with the cultures on both sides of the border.
Yes, I went to the camp that is controlled by the Bangladesh military.
Mm-hmm. Now, the time you spent there, you assessed that there was a massive need, and you weren't able to meet all the needs you wanted to at the time. What do the Christians in America need to understand, Richard, about what's been happening with those populations and being caught in the vise between two governments?
My main focus is to help the needy and unfortunate people who have been victims of politics or whatever you call religious violence and all that. But we are not to judge that. But as believers, as Christians, our role is to help those who are in need, no matter where they are and what the circumstances are. We are not going to judge them. They need help, and we should do as much as we can for those poor people.
We've talked before between you and I and times that I've spent with Jim Jennings, your director and your boss at Conscience International, about the difference between doing things for Christians versus doing things as Christians would do them in the fields where they find themselves, and the subtlety between that and doing something in the name of Jesus. Where do you find yourself lining up with God's call in your life, Richard, about reaching those who are in need? Is it all about sharing the gospel directly and vocally, or is there something more subtle going on?
Yes, my core belief drives me to that kind of activities because Jesus told us to help those who are in need, not based on what their religion and ethnic backgrounds are. And Dr. James Jennings, who is our president, also, we agree that our job is to go where the need is and match the need and resources. And whenever we can, for example, I'm going back again soon, and I'll be making another trip there and take a truckload of food relief for them. No matter how small it is, we are trying to do as best as we can. And if we have resources, we can do more.
Now, you have gone a number of times and taken, as you say, rice and lentils and basic staple foods. How many people were in dire straits and in need of food relief when you were there last time?
Well, we took about 1,000 bags of rice and lentil together, but there are almost a million, according to some statistics. And everybody needs help. And it's not that they're having a lavish life or anything like that. It's not only food. Food, shelter, water, everything, and clothing. But we do food because that's for us, going 10,000 miles away. We don't have any office or any permanent staff there to do other things. Need is enormous. Yeah. Even if it is a drop in the ocean, it is something that we can do.
There have been some wildly varying estimates on the number of Rohingya refugees that were on the move, between anywhere 50,000 up to, as you say, a million. You've been there personally to see the numbers and have counted them and done surveys. If there really are or were a million people that were on the move trying to escape the military reprisals of the Burmese government, how many are still remaining in that area?
They're still there. Nobody has
Nobody's moved on.
No. Because the conditions are not such that they can go, and they are not willing to go because their demands are like they never got citizenship in that country, and they are saying unless we are granted citizenship and get a guarantee that we'll not be tortured or killed, we cannot go back in this kind of situation.
Is there any hope on the Bangladesh side of the border? Is there a chance for citizenship in that country?
It doesn't look like, because Bangladesh also thinks that they don't belong to this country. They have been living in Burma for hundreds of years. Yeah. It is a burden for Bangladesh government, I think, taking care of so many extra people. Yeah. But I hear that there is a new land that has been acclaimed from the ocean, and they are trying some kind of rehabilitation for some of them. But I don't know if it is going to work out or how they will manage. But I do not see any hope that these people will go back under the present conditions.
Okay, Richard, let's talk about hope for a couple of seconds here. If there is no hope in the current situation and no solution on the horizon, you know, frankly, there are a lot of Christians in the West, and especially in America, that would say, then what's the point? If they can't be saved, then why bother going to give them a little bit of food in the meantime? I know it's a very harsh kind of mercy to say, just get on with it and not give them any real hope to do so. But if there really is no hope, Richard, then what's the point of us going?
Yeah, but we cannot also let them die without any help. If we don't go there and help them, politics will be there. Like I first say, that we cannot judge who is wrong or who is right. But these people are in between and has become victim of politics. As Christians, as believers, we need to help them so that people don't die. Mothers, children, old people. And a lot of them die, but as much as we can, we would like to help them rather than watching them die.
I'm making the case on behalf of our Compassion Radio listeners because we need to capture again the kind of hope that transforms and transcends the circumstances. I really do believe that as we are willing to step into the impossible, that we don't discover how capable God is to transform the impossible, and we never will. So we have to literally get in the mix to find out what God intends. It's like he asks for our obedience first to say, just follow me. Stop asking questions. Yeah. Stop asking for rationalizations. Just do the right thing and watch what I can do with that. And you and the rest of the folks at Conscious International have been very much in the front lines of these things for many years, and you're very much under the radar. It's one of the reasons why Norman Scher appreciated you all so much and became friends with you over the years, was because you didn't have a big PR campaign. Our opportunity to speak to your needs and give voice to them, to our Compassion Radio audience, was at least something that could inspire and engender a strong prayer life, an activist kind of prayer life for the people that we speak to. It's ended up helping us to join you in other projects along the way. And we're looking forward to that opportunity as soon as we can do it again. But it's important, at least for right now, that our people hear and understand that the Rohingya of northeast Bangladesh and northwest Burma are still stuck.
Yes.
Let me ask you, Richard, what comes
and
next for
suffering.
You?
They're suffering. When there is heavy rain, when there is winter and cold, and all of them are suffering, and we can't do much. Yeah. Although there are hundreds of organizations, including United Nations, they are doing as much as they can, but it's a huge population to take care.
Friends like Richard Sarker are the kinds of people that we should all spend more time with. The kind of compassion he lives out is not some sappy emotional pity. It's the kind of buoyant, joyful, faith-in-action compassion that knows God will do great and wonderful things for his children, even in the face of tremendous suffering. He knows because he's been there. We'll hear more from him in just a minute. Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry. These are all the kind of things we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. You know, for 75 years, Compassion Radio partners like you have absolutely been up to the challenge. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of 2020? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. It begins with you and your brave investment in kingdom communication and kingdom action. Just this week, our strategic ministry partner for Bible placement, John Podiety, pled with me to come join him in the Middle East this spring. The church there is exploding among Muslim background believers. John wants the world to know what's really going on there, and he wants Compassion Radio to tell that story. And friends, I want to go. Wouldn't you? Every time we go to the front lines of faith, it inspires your faith and your giving to the Great Commission as much as it does ours. But I can't say yes to John until you step up and make it possible. It's our strong desire to be going deeper, to go farther, to be braver than we've ever been in this year of 2020, and to bring you the stories that you just won't hear anywhere else. I simply ask that you would keep giving so that we can give back to the world through our strategic ministry partners and to you with inspiring programming on this radio station and over the internet. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our Safe and Secure Order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
Although there are hundreds of organizations, including United Nations, they are doing as much as they can, but it's a huge population to take care.
And it's fair to remind our listeners that we're not talking about open spaces. Like, if you think about the desert refugee camps that are across Jordan, Iraq, and maybe even inside of Syria now, there's still firm land on which to map out a camp. Maybe completely without water and a miserable place to be, but you're not going to get flooded out or drowned. The people that you're dealing with in that part of the world are in the lowlands at the bottom of nothing, and there is no infrastructure. There's not even roads. There's
nothing.
Literally just
and
swamps.
They're living on the mountains and the forests and the jungles.
So the water is quickly poisoned because of all the population living on it. It's hard to get our minds around how little there is to work with in these places.
If you don't go there, you can't imagine what the situation is. There is no water source, there is no drainage system, you can name and they don't have anything. Yeah. And in an inhuman condition they are living. At least we are going there, giving some food, even if we help 10,000 people at one trip, it's nothing compared to 1 million, but that's what we can do. If we can do more, we will do it.
Yeah.
if God provides the resources.
Okay, Richard, we've established the desperation and the need. We've given some shape to the scope of the problem.
Yes.
Obviously, we are not going to address every bit of it, nor is Conscious International. Yes. You mentioned that other organizations, including the UN, have gotten involved in some respects.
Yes.
And it's like one of those all-hands-on-deck needs. And, they're, of course, they're not the only refugee crisis in the world today. But they're one that's close to your heart because of your upbringing, your family history in Bangladesh, your knowledge, intimate knowledge of the cultures involved. And that's one of the reasons why Dr. Jennings put you on point for this. Let me ask you about the good news. What things have happened in the past couple of years that you've said God was here and he did something miraculous?
Well, when I think about it, if we think about the project that we started 7 years ago in my home village, we started with 80 children. You probably know about that project. We started a school and community development program. Mm-hmm. Now it has grown to be 250 children getting education, without which they would never get the light of education or anything like that. And recently we went back, my wife and I, and we raised money through friends and fundraising dinner and build another school building because we could not accommodate all those increased number of children. So I can see God is working there, God is there, and it is so wonderful. My wife and I were present during the inauguration of the new school building, and now we have more room for more children. I'm going back because we had to leave right after the inauguration. Didn't have a chance to stay there longer to make arrangements for everything.
If you think about the Rohingya themselves being another culture near yours, is there hope in your mind for establishing similar kinds of structures, even if the Rohingya stay in their stateless status? Could you duplicate or recreate what you've been doing in your village amongst the Rohingya?
Sure we can. If we have resources, we can do those kind of things. But we have to wait for the government to make a decision if they're staying here or they're going back. If they go back, we have to think about doing something on the other side of the border, in the Myanmar area. Like I'm going back to Myanmar this time to help the flood and landslide victim. There are a lot of Christians died in that area. So we have been in touch with them and I'm going there. So either this side or that side of the border, we can help these people based on the need, and we can replicate the same things from our experience that I did in my hometown.
So it seems like one of the first kind of prayer requests we should be looking at is some resolution. If God decides to kick them out of Myanmar permanently, if he's going to allow that, at least there would be an answer, and then there would be a new set of problems to solve on the Bangladesh side of the border. If the Lord repatriates them through moving the hearts of the governments around, then we have to deal with the internal consequences of a civil war that backfired on the Myanmar government. I guess I need to be appealing to our Compassion Radio listeners to do at least that. Be praying, as you think about it, as God leads you and reminds you to do so, to be praying that the Rohingya will find a resolution to the stateless non-answer they've been living in for the past few years.
They need to find a place to live peacefully. Either on this side or other side of the border. And legitimately, everybody thinks that that's where they belong and the Myanmar government should take them back and rehabilitate. But the main issue is that they have been driven out of their homeland. We hope and pray that they can go back and live there peacefully and get their land and property and whatever they had to leave, they get those back.
Now, we've seen many waves of those kind of dislocations of populations around the world in the past 100 years or more. And as you know, we've been trying to make our listeners aware of over the past few years, there are more stateless people or people being driven to refugee status in this generation proportionally in the world population than have ever in the history of mankind been on the move. And it's hard for us to grasp that because we still see ourselves as a defined statehood world where countries are countries. That's where people live. They live in countries. But we have not taken seriously the ramifications of the breakdown of law and order after the fall of the Soviet Union, how many populations were impoverished because of changing climate in the middle of Asia, and different kinds of things that have been severely affecting populations that drive people to mass migrations that are not even related to politics. But how much other politics then come into play when governments collapse or where order crumbles into disrule. And, of course, mm-hmm. we have some effects we are aware of because of the wars we've joined.
Yes.
Where we put our young people on the ground to try to settle a score with somebody or reestablish order. You know, our record's kind of mixed. We all know that. But as a country, yes. there's been an impulse to try to correct issues and make things right. And I hope that that impulse will always be there and directed well in the future. How does humanitarian aid, especially through Christians, those who are doing this work in the name of Jesus, how does mm-hmm. this change the calculus and provide a way for peace? Sometimes people say we need to have a peace agreement first before anything can happen. Others say you can't bring people to the peace table if they're starving and desperate already. So it's one of those catch-22s. What do you say, Richard? What's the step towards peace?
Well, when we go there with food aid or whatever help we have, because of our belief we do that, and we can explain why we are doing it. Mm-hmm. They know that we are coming from United States. They know that we are Christians. Because of our belief, we are doing it. We are showing God's love, and we are doing our job, and we pray that God will do his part, change heart, you know. And we sow the seed, and we'll nurture it, keep nurturing, and hopefully it will bear fruit in the future. That's what I believe.
I do, too. I think I like the way you put that. Our job is to do our job, and our job is to pray that God does his. And I do think there's a kind of urgency when you go to the table and your hands are folded over your Bible and you're saying, God, do what you promised. Save these people. Be an avenger of those who are impoverished and oppressed. And when you start praying those things, like right out of the Psalms, and you're talking about real people that you happen to actually know about, it kind of changes the way you structure your prayers. It's not just about them and us anymore. It's about us giving our hearts on the altar, saying, God, do something, because our hearts have been pricked. They've been moved deeply by the suffering of others. Yes. He wants us to feel that stuff so we can experience how he answers them, both in the situation and in the hearts of the people who are affected. And I would also hope along the way that we would be deeply affected by what God ends up doing so that our attitude towards everything changes.
Exactly.
We have a couple more minutes before I want to wrap it up. Is there anything else about the stories of the past year or so that really are highlights for you and remind you of why you do this work?
Again, I can go back. Apart from Rohingyas, I have been doing a lot of other things. And I went to Indonesia to help the tsunami victims.
Oh,
and,
amen.
Yes. And then in my home village that I was saying that it has created so much enthusiasm among the neighbors, like villagers, which is predominantly Muslims. Mm-hmm. It was such a wonderful thing that we invited one of the leading women who is well-known, and she came to the village to inaugurate the new school building. There were like several thousand people who came to greet her, and told them why we are doing it, because she, being a Muslim, she knows why the Christians do it.
Yes.
And then she told a story about her meeting in United Nations headquarters with several other leaders, and she was explaining that what everybody thought, that sometimes people think that the Christians are the only one who, because of their belief, they respond to this kind of work wherever you go. So she was appealing to all of those people for their support and assistance as we continue our work.
It's amazing how the world, when they see the compassion of Christians in action, respond to that with real, genuine affection.
She stressed on that the Christians are the ones who do because of their compassion and love and because of their religious belief. She was blunt that we don't do it like Muslims. They were saying that sometimes we forget about those things, but they literally follow God's calling to help the poor and needy around the world.
I'm glad that we live in a country, Richard, that does not penalize us for following the commands of Christ. That, you know, we have many different people that listen to the program on many spectrum spots along the way politically. We have very conservative people and very motivated liberal people that hear us and say, I want to be part of this. For that, I'm deeply grateful, because this is the family of God in action. Yeah. No matter where we start with our culture or our politics, in Christ we can find common cause to do the very thing he said you must do. And as you have found out, and you're explaining to me about this story in Indonesia, it is the highest form of kingdom ambassadorship there is. when we show up and do the work of Jesus in his name, people take note of that. Oh, that our Christians here would not be afraid of just following Jesus' commands more and more and finding the joy in there and not worry about the political fallout. That's my deepest seated hope here. And I'm so glad there are people like you, Richard, and our dear friends throughout Conscious International that do this work every day. Thank you for doing it, especially because you do it in the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much.
Our thanks to Richard Sarker of Conscious International for his tremendous firsthand account of Jesus-centered relief work among the Rohingya of Burma and Bangladesh. When you pray about where to invest in the kingdom of God around the world, thank you for including us. We can't do this work without you, and we can't introduce you to the inspiring stories of the kingdom if you don't send us. Simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is manned during business hours Pacific time at 1-800-868-2478. If you get voicemail, just leave a full message and we will call you back as soon as the office is open. You can also write us and send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. I'm Bram Floria. Join us for the next Compassion Radio or online at CompassionRadio.com. Have a great day in the Lord.